You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here, as always, with David Ramil. It's Friday, so we're going to look ahead to next week and pick the games. But, David, we got the pleasure of hosting an AMA on Reddit's Heat page on Thursday, and we're recording this right afterwards, before the Heat play the Houston Rockets tonight. We got a lot of great questions, as always. But I wanted to talk about one a little bit more and just sort of elaborate on it, because Reddit user MiamiHeat2015 asked us, who among the young guys has the highest ceiling? Now, David, I know that you and I both talked about this going into the season. We both decided that Justice Winslow probably had the most upside going into the season, the highest ceiling of Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, and then Winslow. What do you think now that we're more than a quarter away through?
Well, first of all, like you mentioned, I've got to shout out our listeners and whoever was on the Reddit AMA. That was fantastic. Always amazing to get any kind of interaction, feedback from those folks. Such great fans. And, you know, despite a tough season, they've been involved and interested. And it's always fascinating to me to see that people care about our opinions like this. So I really appreciate it greatly. As far as the question from Miami Heat 2015, I'm still leaning towards Winslow, I think. I think... The problem with Richardson is that he's not necessarily as good as he's going to get because there's room for improvement from those things and the things that he does well. He's a great defender, obviously. He's a better ball handler than he was when he first came into the league. His offense is always going to be a couple steps behind where he is defensively, but I think we've seen real improvement over the few years of his career. Eventually, though, I expect those things to plateau. I just don't think he's going to get any more explosive, any more athletic. You know, he could maybe fine-tune his shooting a little bit and continue to work on his ball handling. Maybe have a go-to move. I mean, we've seen Rodney Magruder make huge leaps as far as his offense, but I think that was because he was so far behind that any improvement has been a remarkable one. So, for Josh, I think his ceiling is a little bit lower than the other two players. Bam, I like his ceiling because he has this incredible athleticism. Defensively, he can guard 1 through 5 with ease. He can be, if not necessarily the kind of rim protector Hassan Whiteside is, I think he can be enough of a deterrent where he can challenge shots at the rim and, you know, be able to go and challenge shooters along the perimeter as well. We've seen him be able to do those pretty effectively. It's the offense that I'm worried about. Now, we you know, as from his position, he can bring the ball up. He can initiate offense. He's not a bad passer, although those things all need to improve. It's his shooting that, you know, obviously has been the biggest weakness for him. So, you know, we saw, obviously, we keep going back to that grainy video of him in pre-draft workouts where he was knocking down threes at a high clip. We haven't seen any of that. You know, obviously, he shot his first three-pointer earlier this week, and he knocked it down. But, I mean, that kind of shot and having that consistently is not something that I've seen yet. So I'm hoping that we'll find it from him. His ceiling, though, again, because of his versatility, I think it's higher than Josh's. I don't know that it's going to reach the same level that Justice Winslow is, who I feel, if he can get that shooting down pat, could be the best player on the team. I think he can be the best defender. He's versatile enough. He's strong enough to guard 1 through 5 with ease. Maybe he's just a shade less strong than Bam, which is saying something. And I think he's quicker as far as moving his feet and being able to guard smaller wings and ball handlers and things of that sort. As a playmaker, he's got a great first step, obviously. He's finishing more efficiently at the rim. It's that outside shot that I'm most worried about. And I feel like the potential is there for him to have a go-to move offensively. And so I'm sticking with my preseason prediction and saying that Justice is, you know, still has the highest ceiling among those three players.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. And it's kind of funny, if you were to kind of look at who, if you were to rank those three guys right now as far as what they are today, you'd probably say Josh Richardson's the best player, Winslow's second best, and Bam Adebayo is third best out of that group. But if you were to kind of look at their ceilings, you could, and I agree with you, that this argument is that Josh Richardson might be might have the lowest ceiling out of those three. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to be in 2, 3, 4, 5 years the worst out of that group. I'm just talking about ceiling, right? We don't know that Winslow and Bam are going to hit their ceilings. But as far as that goes, you're absolutely right. I mean, Josh Richardson has surpassed expectations as a second-round pick, but he was a second-round pick for a reason, and it wasn't just because of his age. It wasn't just because he was a four-year college player. It was because there was limited athleticism there. There is a limited ceiling there. And for Justice Winslow, he's kind of the best of both worlds, of that athleticism that Bam has, that ability to guard one through five like Bam can, but also that ability to defend out on the perimeter like Josh does at an all-NBA level. And then that offensive repertoire that is kind of unfolding in front of us, right? And you mentioned the shooting there, David, and I mentioned this in the AMA. That three-point shot is obviously the question mark, and he's been shooting better as of late, and it's always sort of just been a small sample size. But that small sample size is growing bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Over he's made 80 of the last 213 three-pointers he's attempted. That's this season and last season. That's 37.5%. Again, 80 of the last 213. Now, 200 isn't a huge sample size.
Half a season for Steph Curry. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But it is, like, it looks good, right? Like,
he's up to almost four attempts per game this season.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's something. It's not like he was last year where he was, like, hovering over one attempt per game.
It was 1.9 attempt per game last year at 38%. That's up to 3.5 attempts a game this season at 37%. So the percentage is almost the same, and he's doubled almost his output, his attempts per game. And not just the three-point shot, but he's pulling up now from the mid-range. He's looks more comfortable than ever running the pick and roll. When I do still think he has the highest ceiling out of anybody, just because of his ability to put everything together. And I agree with you. And I said it, and I wrote it in my answer in the AMA. It wouldn't surprise me if by the end of the year, the end of this season, Justice Winslow is the best player on the Heat. If he continues developing, I think sooner rather than later, Winslow will be the best player on the Heat. And as far as the ceiling goes, I don't know what we can qualify that as. Top 30 player in the NBA, I could see that being a reasonable place for him, ceiling-wise. Again, not saying he's going to get there. We had Dave DeFore on a couple weeks ago. He said that Josh Richardson could be top 20, top 30, right in that range as well, and I could see that. But for all these guys, I think their ceilings are pretty high. It's just a matter of the Heat getting them to get as close to that ceiling as possible.
You know, I keep going back to the comp of a guy like Kawhi or Jimmy Butler. Those are easy ones to make. I feel like a lot of Justice's limitations at this point are mostly due to lack of playing time and overall usage. And I feel like if that's, we're going to see over the next 2 months. And as much as we are unhappy with the Goran Dragic injury, it's a hell of an opportunity for Justice to prove that what we saw against the Clippers a few days ago or a week ago wasn't necessarily a fluke. And I think this is a great chance for him to show that he has the repertoire, that he can expand his skill set, that he has the ability to take a game over and be the team's lead player. That may not happen. Again, it's going to be challenging with Hassan Whiteside demanding the ball and the limitations that he brings to the roster and the style of play. It's going to be difficult as they try to incorporate Dion Waiters. And as always, Dwayne Wade is a big part of this franchise. He does loom large over everything, even if he's taking a step back to try and allow the younger players a chance to breathe and kind of take over games and show what they have to do. But for Justice, he needs to realize this is his opportunity. Look, he's got his money. He's got his contract extension. But it's more about the next deal at this point. It's more about trying to prove that you are worthy of being a top 10 pick, of being a guy who can be the leader of this team. And we've questioned all the time whether or not that's something that Josh is capable of or ready for. I feel like Justice may have that more ingrained in his personality. Mm-hmm. He was a higher recruit. A more highly touted recruit. Obviously, he was a big deal at Duke, and he led or was a significant part of that title-winning team with the Blue Devils. So I think, you look at what he's been able to accomplish, and he seems like he's more primed to be this team's best player, and this is a great chance for him to prove that he can be.
I agree. And that was, again, great thread over there at Reddit. If you want to check out our answers about a bunch of stuff about whether or not Justice Winslow should be a point guard, kind of the roles of these other guys. David and I had got some tanking questions. You already know where we stand on that, but it's always fun to elaborate on our individual arguments. Go to reddit.com/r/heat, and you can find the AMA with David and I up there. Again, reddit.com/r/heat, and thanks again for everybody over there for setting that up with us. Okay, it's Friday, Dave. It means time to guess the record, but let's look at how we did this week. Again, we're recording this the Thursday before Miami plays the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are on the second night of a back-to-back, but they did blow out. It was a blowout in their win Wednesday night. They were able to rest some guys late in that game, so I'm not sure. I originally had this as a win for Miami. I'm not as confident now, seeing as Houston was able to rest their starters for most of that game, or for a big portion of that game. You had it as a loss either way. I think it's probably going to go your way right now, even though Miami is riding a two-game win streak going into that game. So we'll see. And we both have Dwayne Wade swapping jerseys with Chris Paul. We're still good with that prediction?
I think so, yeah. That makes more sense.
So let's look ahead to this next week. Saturday, December 22nd versus Milwaukee. Now, the Bucks will be coming off of a back-to-back. It'll be their second night of a back-to-back in that game. But still, the Bucks are really, really damn good this year. Giannis is maybe the best player in the Eastern Conference, right up there with Kawhi Leonard. They are dominating guys. Not only is that offense doing really well, centered around Giannis and Antetokounmpo, but that defense has been among the best in the NBA this season. It's going to be really hard without Goran Dragic to really get into an offensive groove, I think, in that game. And even with Justice Winslow at point guard, the mismatches that that provides, the Bucks are like the team that started that, right? Like, they have the personnel to guard Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, everybody else on that team. And they've got length now to guard guys like Whiteside and Bam Adebayo and stuff like that. I've got this, despite everything, I've still got that as a win, because I think Milwaukee, coming off the second night of a back-to-back, going to Miami, holiday season, might get some Miami flu. I don't know. Giannis, I think, won't participate, but maybe everybody else on that roster, I'm not so quite sure about. So I've got this as a win for Miami. Maybe I'm being optimistic, though.
I definitely think you are. I just can't see any chance. I mean, even on the second night of a back-to-back, even if Miami finds a way to upset Houston on Friday, it's going to be very, very difficult to knock off this Milwaukee team. They've just got so much length, so much talent. I mean, you look at one of their biggest change, obviously, in Mike Budenholzer, but also at the center position with Brook Lopez. I mean, he's going to take out Hassan Whiteside completely. I just don't see that. I mean, I think he had a huge game against us when he was with the Nets years ago, when he knocked down, was it like a million three-pointers? That was the first time that we saw that flash of his long-range shooting ability, and it was against Miami, albeit in a loss for the Nets at that point in time. But still, I just feel like he can stretch the floor, he can take Whiteside out of his element, and unless, you know, again, with Goran out, even if Dion's able to inject some kind of enthusiasm, if he should return to the lineup, which does not seem likely at this point, I just can't find a way for Miami to knock off the Bucks.
If everybody else outside Giannis isn't hitting their threes, if their legs are a little bit woozy, you know what I mean? And maybe Miami's able to put up some shots, that's the kind of the road to winning this game. I'm not super confident in my win projection, but I don't know. Jersey swap, who do we think?
You know, that's a tough one. I don't see Dwayne kind of gravitating towards any one player on that roster. Like, I feel like, obviously, Giannis is the team superstar, but it's been kind of difficult, you know, as far as what he likes out of each player. Like, the fact that he went with Montrezl Harrell, a couple weeks ago, that was an unusual choice, right? I mean, he went with Jay Crowder, obviously, with a Marquette connection. I don't know that there's anybody like that in the roster.
The Giannis thing is interesting, right? Because obviously he's the best player, so you would just sort of be like, all right, by default, because I don't have a connection with anybody. But
he's not going with the best player.
Exactly. And Giannis's recent comments about, like, not wanting to pair up with superstars, kind of Wade is part of that superstar conglomerate. He's part of that group. Like, he is in the club. And Giannis basically took shots at the club. So I don't think he's going to give it to Giannis. I think he's going to give it to Eric Bledsoe, almost for the opposite reason. Eric Bledsoe obviously has that relationship with LeBron James. Any friend of LeBron's is a friend of D. Wade, so I've got Eric Bledsoe getting the jersey.
You know, I'm going to go off the wall here. I was thinking Chris Middleton would be a good choice. I'm going with Lopez. I don't know why. I feel like there's a connection there. I'm not sure what that might be, but he was an all-star at some point. I kind of feel like, you know, they were part of the junior NBA global ambassadorship. I think there's a relationship there as well. I don't know. We'll see.
I like it. Hey, he gave it, like you said, he gave the jersey to Montrezl Harrell. Why not? Now, Miami is going to be on the second night of a back-to-back, the next night, Sunday in Orlando. They have to hit the road. and go north to see the Magic. Now, obviously, the last time that these teams played, Orlando beat the Heat 105-90. Miami can't beat the Magic this year. They're already 0-2. They've got two more games left. The third one of the season being Sunday. Look, Orlando's beaten up. They've got some injuries, but they play Miami so well. After the Heat, for so many years, had the Magic's number, the tables have turned here. I've got this as a loss for Miami.
Yeah, you see, I've got it the exact opposite. I feel like Miami's so unpredictable this season, and maybe in the past as well, but this season in particular. You know, I think a little undermanned, obviously, with Goran out, trying to find a way to unseat the Magic, and the Magic having enough injury issues where they're a little bit more vulnerable. I could see this turning into a win for Miami. Like, they're going to try to throw Fournier off his game. I think Vucevic won't be there to stretch the floor and cause the defensive mismatches that he has in the past. I like the Whiteside Mo Bamba matchup a lot better than I like him trying to limit Vucevic. I can see a win there. I think they're going to have to figure it out because, I mean, at this point, they might be fighting for a potential playoff tiebreaker too. So this is a good opportunity for Miami to say, you know what, we want to be in the playoffs. We want to make sure that we can be have a better record than Orlando, and this is a good way to prove that.
I wonder if there'll be a jersey swap in this game. They've already played twice.
Right?
They've got another. Yeah, I feel like this is second out of a back-to-back in Orlando. Then they got to go like back home to Miami for the next game against Toronto. I'm going to say no jersey. Who has he given it to? I don't know.
I don't know that he has, right? Because I think he missed the second one.
Right.
And then the first one, it was a loss on opening night. I don't think he gave a jersey away.
Yeah, I don't think he had gotten into the jersey swaps yet because that was the first night.
He just may not like the Magic, and with good reason.
If he is going to give it to somebody...
AG.
Yeah, maybe Aaron Gordon. I was gonna say like Terrence Ross for some reason. No, I don't know. No, he's been in the Eastern Conference for a while. Maybe they have some sort of relationship. I don't know.
It would have been Victor Oladipo in years past, obviously, but that's not the case.
Yeah, two teams ago for Oladipo. So you've got that as a win. I've got that as a loss. And then Wednesday is the final game of the week. They play again Friday, but we'll do this again before then. So Wednesday is our final game of the week, December 26th. At home versus Toronto Raptors. The last time that the Raptors and Heat played, the Raptors won 125-115. But that was the night, David, that Dwayne Wade scored 35 points. How do you see this one playing out?
You know, I'm going to stick with the unpredictability of this team, which means obviously they're going to lose every game this trip. I can see them at home with something to prove after the Christmas holiday. Is Toronto play the day before on Christmas?
Oh, do they? No, they don't. They don't play on Christmas.
They don't. Okay, all right.
They actually have a nice little break. I remember I looked this up, but they play Sunday or Monday.
Well, they'll still probably be flying into Miami on Christmas, which will upset them for a whole other slew of reasons. Oh, maybe that'll feel...
Are they playing on... Is this Boxing Day? Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Do we have the Boxing Day game?
I'm not from Canada. I have no idea.
So you've got this
as
a win?
Holiday? What do you get? What do you get? Like a box?
I don't know. I thought you just had to box somebody else.
Do they have like, what kind of animals do they have in Canada where you can go boxing with them? It's not like kangaroos in Australia or anything like that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to seem ignorant to our friends to the north.
They have raptors there, right? That's the whole point. That's why they're named after that. Raptors and grizzlies.
Yeah, look, that's going to be an interesting one. Maybe, you know, Toronto already plays with a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. You know, being disrespected and not being one of the on the slate of Christmas Day games, they'd view it as insulting, whereas most people would be like, hey, I don't have to play on the holiday. I know they've got their own injury bug to work through also, but I just, you're right. I feel like there's just too much talent, too much depth on that Raptors team. That's a loss.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. It's a loss. All the reasons you said. Toronto's just super good, and Miami's like not that good. That's kind of what it is. Jersey swap. Did we get a jersey swap the last time when Wade played? I was trying to look it up. And when I say try, I tried for like a minute and 30 seconds. I don't remember them.
That is the kind of research you can expect from the Lock on Heat team.
I can't remember if they did a jersey swap with Toronto, but you would think that he would have with like a Kyle Lowry or a Kawhi or something like that.
OG and Unabi, you know, sharing that Tom Crean
connection.
That's
it. That's what's going to happen. If it hasn't happened already, it's you're absolutely right. It's OG and Unabi. Okay. So I've got them winning against Milwaukee, losing Orlando, and losing the Toronto game. You've got them losing to Milwaukee, beating Orlando, and losing to Toronto. So I've got them
same record.
1-2. You've got them at 1-2. Last week I had them at 2. Last week, including the Houston game yet to be played as we're recording this, I had them at 1-2, and you had them at 0-3. So far, they're 2-0 going into this Houston game. But I think over the last 2 weeks, still you're winning. I think you're winning in the overall total of the season.
I'm winning in life, Wes. That's basically where it comes down.
That's what it comes down to. All right. Well, that's a good place to end it. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Leave us a rating or review while you're there. Connect on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll catch you next time. Happy holidays.